This podcast is, of course, made possible through the support of our members and from Dartmouth Hitchcock. Imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community with convenient locations throughout northern New England. World-class providers are closer than you think. Visit dartmouthhitchcock.org to learn more. Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. It's often a surprise to young families who move to the Granite State that their new hometown may not have full-day public kindergarten. About 40% of New Hampshire districts offer half-day programs instead. Cost is always the concern. Expanding kindergarten could require more teachers, more classrooms, more buses, and districts would have to pay for that extension themselves since state aid is based on a half-day formula. Now, a bill introduced in the legislature yesterday aims to change that, but how lawmakers will view it is unclear, given competition from many other budget priorities and skepticism from some about how long the benefits of kindergarten last. Let's hear from you. Join us. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. Our guests are Dan Feltes. He's a Democratic state senator from Concord who's promoting that bill I mentioned for full state funding for full-day kindergarten. Senator Feltes, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Happy New Year.
Also with us, Senator John Reagan. He's a Republican state senator from Deerfield, also chair of the Senate Education Committee. And Senator Reagan, thank you also for being here.
Glad to be here, Laura. Happy New Year.
And also with us, Jason Moon, NHPR Seacoast reporter, who also covers education for us. And Jason, thanks for taking time out. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Well, and Jason, at the start of your story recently on full-day kindergarten, where you kind of updated the situation here in the Granite State, you said New Hampshire has been, quote, slow to warm to the idea of kindergarten. How so?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say New Hampshire's never been exactly on the cutting edge of kindergarten. I mean, whether that's a good thing or not, you know, it's debatable. But I think the first public support for kindergarten was around the year 2000 when it became optional for districts to offer a kindergarten program to get some state funding. And then I believe we were the last or one of the last states to mandate districts require at least a half day, and that was in 2009. Well after most of the country had been mandating local districts offer at least some kindergarten. And then that's kind of the policy side where the rubber hits the road in terms of attendance, actually kids of kindergarten age going to kindergarten. We are second to last in terms of the number of kids going to a full-day program. So about 55% of New Hampshire kids who could go to a full-day kindergarten program do. And that compares to a national rate of about 75%.
So, Senator Reagan, before we get into the details of Senator Feltes' bill and the state funding formula and so forth, how do you see the prevailing philosophy in New Hampshire toward kindergarten? What's it been like over the years in the state legislature?
Well, as Jason just pointed out, we're second from last to require kindergarten, yet at the end of the 12, 13 years, we score very well. So that kind of puts a stamp of approval on our delaying the necessity of children starting to be in school, the having to be in, having to start school so young. So I kind of feel that way, that we don't see, and we had all the years ago about all the Head Start children that didn't do any better than anybody else after a couple of years, that the system did not put them on a trajectory that we're paying mightily for.
Sam Feltes, what do you think? The research, skepticism about the research, I looked at some of it yesterday, and even some advocacy groups say that the research is, quote, inconclusive about the benefits, the long-term benefits of kindergarten. What do you think?
Well, I think the longitudinal studies indicate that there's distinct point-in-time social and academic value lasting through third, fourth, in some cases fifth grade. And in terms of one of a singular intervention in terms of education, just one point in time, that's one of the most effective point-in-time interventions. You know, talk about lower class sizes. Those are effective too, but those are often throughout. Right. So in terms of a singular intervention, this is one of the more effective. So in terms of the bill, Senator Waters, I'm co-sponsoring his bill. Representative Dave Luna, co-sponsoring his bill, too. I've been working on this for a while. To us, it's an issue of fairness. So if you're a local school district and you choose, it's not a mandate, but if you choose to offer full-day kindergarten, you get reimbursed the same amount for any other student, you know, first grade, second grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. It's just a fairness issue. Now, I know kindergartners are smaller than other students, but they're not half as important. In many ways, they're more important. And we know that the research on early childhood education and brain development is so important. Second point, in terms of the opportunity gap, we have a growing opportunity gap, Laura, in this state and in this nation between low to middle income kids and upper income kids. Every child should have an opportunity to get off to a good start in school, not just upper income kids who can afford private full-day kindergarten. And lastly, Laura, you talked about the political prospects of this. During the campaign, Governor-elect Chris Sununu, we're going to hear from him in a couple hours after he's sworn in, committed to full adequacy, in other words, full state support for full-day kindergarten. I'm hopeful he'll take a leadership role on this. It's important. It's one of the issues that we can work together on, I think, Laura, in this upcoming session. There's other issues like curtailing voting rights or curtailing collective bargaining rights that I think we ought to not focus
Senator
on.
Senator Reagan just made a face, but yeah.
Focus on the bipartisan issues, the issues that we agree on, and making sure every child gets off to a good start is something we can all agree on.
Well, since you mentioned the governor-elect, I want to let everybody know we will be covering the governor-elect speech, his inaugural address, starting around noon, whenever the speech begins. And since you mentioned what Sununu said during the campaign, Senator Feltus, let's hear a little bit. Here is Chris Sununu during the campaign talking about funding full-day kindergarten during a gubernatorial debate with NH1.
I'm a very strong supporter of making sure that we have full-day kindergarten for those districts who want it. The state has to be able to put up their fair share.
Senator Reagan, what do you think? Their fair share?
Fair in politics always means more money. So that's what how whenever you hear a politician say it's more fair, it means give me more money. So I feel that that's why New Hampshire has always resisted kindergarten, because it wasn't that necessary and we're more frugal than just wanting to give everything to everybody that asks for it. The benefits are still, as Senator Feltus pointed out, they're still kind of there's no decisive point where you say, okay, let's back it up to put three-year-olds in school because the benefit is so great. So the voters and the property taxpayers in New Hampshire never saw the value, and it were 2009 before we even asked, required that there be some offering of kindergarten. So most of your adults today in New Hampshire didn't have or didn't have to go to kindergarten. So that's the history of it, that we've succeeded and our students have succeeded without kindergarten.
I just want to clarify for people, Jason, how the funding formula works. And Senator Feltus mentioned this. So right now, the state adequacy grant is $3,600 per student, roughly. For kindergarten, it's half of that because the assumption is half-day kindergarten. So Beau, for example, has full-day kindergarten, but kids there only get that half-day grant, even though Beau is offering full-day.
Exactly. So, right. In the formula, kindergartners are weighted at 0.5. So whether
no matter what the district
whether
offers.
You have full or half, you get the money for a half-day program, essentially, from the state. And the rest of that is made up from the district itself.
And it sounds like, again, from your reporting, Jason, a lot of districts have stepped up and said, you know, this is important enough, we're going to do it and just kick it in ourselves.
Yeah, it's been kind of like a viral phenomena among school districts. And it's really kind of interesting if you look on a map of the state to see it. If one district and one part of the state gets it, it tends to spread to neighboring districts. And, some thought that it may be important for people when they're choosing where to live, where to buy a house if the district, if the school district has full day kindergarten. So, you know, there may be some kind of kindergarten competition going on. So
right, keeping up with the Joneses.
Exactly.
And in fact, I think in your story and some reporting from the Concord Monitor, some realtors said, you know, look, I kind of want to live in Concord, but Beau, Hopkinton, other surrounding towns have full day kindergarten, so I'll go there. Mm-hmm. So it's an economic development issue.
It could be. It's hard to like pin down numbers on that, but that's certainly anecdotally something you hear from families and from superintendents who are thinking about this kind of thing.
So here's a question for you, Senator Feltes. Again, your bill aims to give full state funding for full-day kindergarten, but 60% of districts are already doing it on their own because they feel it's important. So if districts really want it, why don't they just pay for it themselves, like many others are doing?
Right. Well, it's just not fair to those school districts and those local property taxpayers to just provide half of the support. You know, first grade, second grade, third grade, they get the full support. Full-day kindergarten should get the full support. Now, you know what Jason just talked about is true. This is the issue about attracting and keeping young people and young working families in the state, which is demographically and economically needed. And you see families moving out of Concord and into Bow and out of Concord and into Hopkinton. It was just reported about Bow in the Concord Monitor recently. I think, Laura, you alluded to it, based on the access to full-day kindergarten. And if we want to be a state that attracts a younger workforce that we need to attract in this state, we got to step up to the plate. And, again, the bill doesn't mandate that school districts provide it. It just says, look, if you do, you're going to get full support. It's only fair.
But other districts, Senator Feltes, have stepped up to the plate. So, again.
Yeah, well, those districts have stepped up to the plate. And a lot of school districts have stepped up to the plate without – let's talk about just education generally. The state doesn't provide – it's called an adequacy grant, but it's not really adequate, let's be honest. And, you know, schools step up to provide different services in different ways all the time. This is one of those things that needs to be supported. It's only fair. Treat kindergarten like any other grade, and let's make some progress in closing the opportunity gap between low- to middle-income kids and upper-income kids.
Well, and Senator Reagan, we've talked a ton on this show about New Hampshire's demographic challenges and the very low unemployment rate, the struggles of businesses to attract good workers. Would fully funding full-day kindergarten help toward that goal?
I'm sure full-day kindergarten relieves that segment of parents that have younger than first grade children. I'm sure it helps with the dilemma of finding competent daycare. I mean, it's nightmarish for parents to try to find somebody to watch their children.
And expensive.
And it's expensive, but students, you know, the statewide average is like $13,500 to keep a student in school. I have towns in my district that are in a race to get to $20,000 per student. It's not all that uncommon. And I have other, you know, I have other towns that are desperately seeking ways to control their property tax rate. So it's a complicated need for child care. And why do we often do it the most expensive way? So
would another way be, you know, give subsidies to people who need child care instead of broadly expanding this program? I mean, is that where you're going with
well,
that?
Or? No, I hadn't thought of that.
I guess my question should be, what's a cheaper way to do it? You know, if you're saying you understand the struggles, but this is a very expensive way to go about it, is there a cheaper way to go about it?
I haven't had to investigate that for 40-some years now. So.
Well, what about the concern that Senator Reagan is expressing, Senator Feltes? You know, you hear the struggles of families and so forth, but taxpayers struggle too.
Absolutely. That's why we need to step up to the plate at the state level to support education, including full adequacy for full-day kindergarten. It's only fair for local property taxpayers to provide that level of support. You know, when you talk about workers, you know, Senator Reagan alluded to it, talked about folks struggling with the cost of child care. Child care, the cost of child care is now the biggest cost for working families in the state. The second biggest is housing. We have an affordable workforce housing shortage in the state. We have elevated rental costs. So child care, housing costs. And when you look at part-day kindergarten, Laura, including in Concord, you have working families, some cases, picking their kids up at 10:30 in the morning, have to leave work. And I've heard from business owners about the impact of that. I've heard from workers about the impact of that. And I've heard from, you know, folks, local property taxpayers saying, look, let's actually provide some state support so we can help out our communities and help move forward together.
Let's take some calls, gentlemen. Again, the number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Today in the exchange, we're looking at new legislation that would increase funding for full-day kindergarten programs around the state. Join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. And guys, up first is Sarah in Concord. Hi, Sarah. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a mother of two, both under the age of four in Concord, and I am currently putting my career on hold because putting my children through full-day child care is financially impossible for my family. My husband's gainfully employed full-time with the state, but we still don't. If I were to go back to work, it wouldn't make sense child care-wise. So until both of my kids are in kindergarten, I have no option to further my career basis. And the part-time income that I'm making right now is fully going to one of my oldest child going to a part-time preschool nearby, which is also incredibly expensive. So this is from a demographic standpoint, young families trying to raise children and be more economically prosperous and give their children the options that they need. Without full-day kindergarten, it's not possible for me. So I'd really love your panelists that I heard say that kindergarten for previous generations wasn't necessary, so, you know, everybody did just fine. This is a new economy. Realistically, my kids are going to be better off in a public school setting with talented teachers looking after them while I go and make some more money and pay more taxes through my paycheck.
All right. So, Lori, trying to make that that balance between paying for childcare, going to work, and that's a hard decision that a lot of families have to work through. Let's take another call if we could. This is Lori in Hanover. Go ahead, Lori. You're on the exchange.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm really interested in this conversation. I'm a realtor in the Upper Valley, and I fully support the idea of full-day kindergarten. I often have clients who want to move to communities that support education, that make a commitment to education. So full-day kindergarten is not just about what do the children get out of it, but about the community showing that they make that commitment to education, and it is largely an economic development issue in my mind.
So, Lori, you're talking about communities making that commitment. Should the state jump in on that, or should it be up to the local communities if they really feel like it's important? You know, can they just pay for it themselves?
On the state level, I absolutely think they should. We have lots of people moving up from Massachusetts, and they're flabbergasted when they move. You know, they look at a home that they love, and then they find out there isn't full-day kindergarten, or that the community is not supportive and the state is not supportive of that full-day kindergarten.
So your experience as a realtor, they look for the next community where there is full-day kindergarten.
Exactly.
Okay. Thanks.
And we see higher market rates on homes in communities where the school systems are rated better, of course, and, you know, people want that for their children.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Lori. Jason, how much of this sentiment did you hear? You know, kindergarten is an economic development issue.
It's certainly an idea out there, but again, it's one of those things that's a little more intangible and kind of you know, what brings people to move to a new place is kind of subjective. So it may vary from person to person, but certainly a lot of people do feel that it's a plus. I mean, it doesn't hurt for a community to have full day kindergarten in terms of attracting families, and given the way that the full-day kindergarten has spread among school districts that neighbor each other, it seems like that thinking is present in the, you know, in the select boards and superintendent offices around the state as well.
Well, coming up after break, we're going to hear from someone on the school board in Concord, which has been struggling with implementing full-day kindergarten, still half-day in Concord. And we'll talk more about some of these economic and tax issues and take a lot more of your calls. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. And stay with us. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, reconsidering kindergarten in the Granite State. Should the state increase funding for full-day kindergarten programs, or should that choice be up to local districts? Give us a call. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Send email to exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. With me in studio, three guests, Jason Moon, NHPR's Seacoast reporter, who's covering education, Dan Feltes, Democratic State Senator from Concord, who's promoting a bill for full state funding for full-day kindergarten, and John Reagan, Republican State Senator from Deerfield. He's also chair of the Senate Education Committee. Joining us now from Concord is Jennifer Patterson. She's vice president of the Concord School Board, Concord being a community that has been struggling with this issue of full-day kindergarten. And Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, and hello, good morning, and good morning to your guests.
Well, why doesn't Concord have full-day kindergarten? Most cities in New Hampshire do.
Well, I've been on the school board since 2007, and we've looked at this issue twice during my time on the board. The first time was in 2010 when we did a consolidation of our elementary schools, and we were lucky enough to get state building aid for that project. We got in just before the moratorium on building aid, and what we were told was there were no funds for full-day kindergarten, just half, as you've discussed today. What that would mean would be that the district would have to bear the full cost of building the classroom space, which would be twice the number of kindergarten rooms. So what the district has done is to look at the educational impact. And I should say that Concord is the only autonomous school district in the state, so our balance is providing a quality education for all students in the district while maintaining fiscal responsibility for the taxpayers. We have a lot of responsibility. So back in 2010, we looked at the studies and the research, and as some of your guests have said, there's not a real strong, and certainly at that time, a lot of correlation with lasting impacts on full-day K, and so the choice that we made at that time was not to bear that burden on our own of building that extra class space. We did not go forward with building for full-day. So more recently, we've been looking again at full-day kindergarten, and there's a steering committee that started its work back last fall of 2015, and worked through 2016, focusing on the question of what are the best practices in kindergarten programming and how is Concord connecting with early childhood programs within the district and also within the community at large.
So, Jenny, why doesn't Concord have full-day kindergarten? It sounds like you've been looking at it for a long time, studying it, but why do you keep coming up with the answer of no?
Well, we have I would not say we've come up with the answer of no, because the board is currently going to take a look at that as we go through our budgeting process in February and March of this year. So the board has voted to ask that full-day kindergarten be included in the budget, but really we have got to look at a lot of things when we do our budgeting, and we have to look at every grade level and providing a quality education at all grade levels. There are a lot of things that go into that calculation, and frankly, a lot of things that the state legislature does beyond this bill that go into that calculation. There's been a lot of downshifting of local communities of cost, of the state retirement system, the building aid moratorium, special education funding. All of that play into the decision that we make when we go through our budgeting process.
I see. So there's a lot of other costs that you bear these days, given
right. The
trend of downshifting from the state to local communities. So it might have been easier to do it years back, Jenny.
Well, in terms of building aid, yes. I think at this point we do have the ability to do it within our current building, so that is not the issue. But in terms of looking at our overall budget, I think it's we can't just focus in on one half of one grade level and look at this issue in isolation. Clearly, early childhood is incredibly important. That was what our steering committee found. Clearly, preschool has the strongest, longest-lasting impact, and that's something that we've been looking at. We've been looking at what we're already doing in Concord. The research also showed the quality preschool has the most benefits for students in poverty with special needs, dual language learners. We're already doing a lot for those, including some extended day programs. But really, it's a question of, how much can we do that is fiscally responsible when we look at it? That's why we're looking at it in the context of the entire budget process.
How concerned are you, Jennifer, that Concord could lose out to surrounding communities, Bow, Hopkinton, Pembroke, that already have full day? Because anecdotally, as I'm sure you know, press reports contain lots of stories about young families choosing where to live based partly on this kindergarten issue.
Well, again, the Concord School Board, our sole charge is education and providing us quality education for all students served by the district, and I think that we do that. Having great schools, I think, is attractive to anyone who is looking. So I just would hate to see it narrowed to this one single issue. I think it's important, and I think that the board has voted to do full-day kindergarten if we can, but we really have to make sure that we are still being fiscally responsible as we look at this issue, and that we're really looking in detail at what the educational impacts are and taking seriously the research, the work that the steering committee did.
So it sounds like, Jenny, if I could summarize, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the board likes the idea of full-day kindergarten from an educational standpoint, but isn't sure if putting it in place would be fiscally responsible for Concord.
Right. I mean, we know it would cost $1.2 million to have full-day kindergarten in Concord next year for all of our students, and then it would cost about $1 million a year after that. This isn't like the building aid issue where you build it and then you have it. So there would be a continued cost every year over time. So that's something that we have to really look at very carefully in terms of whether that makes sense for the taxpayers in Concord.
Okay, so Jennifer, last question. What's the next step in this process?
Well, our budget process goes forward always in January, February, and March. We're certainly hoping that we will get public input on this issue. We've already received some public input, but we really need more, and we need to see it in the context of the full budget. And so we're looking forward to having the superintendent present the budget so that we can see how it plays out with everything else that we do in the district.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Jennifer Patterson. Again, she's vice president of the Concord School Board. The number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at nhprexchange. And Senator Reagan, I wonder what you think about what we heard from Jennifer Patterson there, you know, struggling with this idea of they want it in Concord, but they're not sure if it's fiscally responsible for the community or not.
So for Concord, it's $1 million item in their school budget. And I don't know what their school budget is, but $1 million anywhere is a lot of money. I just did the math for a school district with 30 preschool children. To match the adequacy amount would be an additional $1,800 per student. It would be $48,000. But then the full cost, just using the statewide average, is $300,000. So in a 30-student, you're at 30 preschool students, you're at $348,000 up to over $500,000, depending on how much the district chooses to spend per student.
So it's
not a little bit because they're little bitty kids. It's a lot of money because we still have to pay the teachers at the same rate. So,
and the adequacy grant is seen by most education officials as inadequate. It doesn't cover the whole cost.
Well, it doesn't, no, but that's a choice that we made. The drive in any state by the teachers' union is to have the state fully fund the schools. And they tout it as a big relief to the local property taxpayer. But as we know in New Hampshire, the closer to the cost that you control it, the better the control is. So when you shift that ability for the state to tax and then reward that teacher voting base, things get really, really expensive. So we control things locally. This is a local control issue, and I can support this. On a warrant article in my town, I can vote for it because I know what that impact will be to my property tax bill, and I also see all the dilemmas of child care and the myriad of problems we have with little children and adolescents and juvenile justice and all of that. So, yeah, I'm a firm believer the sooner you can start intervening where intervention is called for, the better. But this is it's probably properly left locally, and it's up to those folks in those communities to debate the issue. And that's why we have town meetings, and that's why we have warrant articles.
Senator Feltus, we keep going around and around on this issue. Is it better left to local districts to make this decision, as 60% have?
It is, under this bill. There's no mandate that local school districts go to full-day kindergarten under this bill. It just says if you choose to do it, it's only fair to provide full support, just like first grade, second grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. Why? Because in many ways, kindergarten is more important than a lot of those other grades. You have to have at least a fairness element to this. So there is no mandate. It is up to the local school districts. It's only fair to support. I agree with the incoming governor when he said in that debate, NH1, it's only fair. That's what he said, and it's true. And I'm hopeful that he'll take a leadership role on this. We'll hear in a couple hours whether or not he makes this a priority, as he said he would in his campaign. I'm hopeful that he does. I'm hopeful that we can focus on bipartisan issues like this rather than other issues that are more controversial, like loosening our gun laws or tax giveaways for the wealthiest 1%. Let's focus on bipartisan issues that we can really help in terms of economic development. This is an economic development issue about attracting and keeping young people in the state, helping working families, and closing the opportunity gap between low to middle income families and upper income families. It's something we ought to do. And it's something I think that if working together, we can do to provide more support to our communities.
Let's take another call. And this is Sheila in Brookfield. Hi, Sheila. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange. Welcome.
It's actually Celia.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sheila. Go ahead.
That's all right. That's all right. I just would like to offer a possible negative aspect to all-day kindergarten. And this is coming from someone who made the transition from half-day kindergarten to full-day kindergarten as a school bus driver. When they switched to all-day kindergarten, I remember there were several students, but the one I really remember, I picked up at 7:30 in the morning. He's just a little guy, and I drop him off at home at 4:45 in the afternoon, and every day he was wiped out, sound asleep in the seat. I just wonder, is it too much for some of these kids to go all day long?
You know, I heard this point made, Senator Feltus, by somebody else in some of the reading I did yesterday. We've talked a lot about the struggles of families who work. We heard earlier from a young woman who wanted to go back to work, but she couldn't because of childcare and lack of full-day kindergarten. But our caller seems to be saying, let's not forget about the kids who, you know, this is a really long day for a five-year-old. So would full-day kindergarten have an option for that kid who just can't cut it for a 7 or 8 hour day?
Right. And I think the best designs, Laura, and you can look around the state, there's some great designs on full day programs where you intersperse nap time, intersperse playtime, intersperse some of the social elements that really are important to really build a productive day. And, you know, to make sure that these kids going into first grade, you know, are not falling behind. You know, we got to close this opportunity gap between low to middle income kids and upper income kids. Upper income families can afford private full day kindergarten. And so the state needs to step up to the plate, in my view, not a mandate, but ensuring that we provide full support for full day kindergarten. Look, Concord's cost would be chopped in half. Manchester's cost chopped in half. Nashua's chopped in half if we do this, you know, and that's an important thing to do to help out. It's a fairness issue. It's an issue about reducing pressure on local property taxes as well.
Let's take another call. This is Karen in Hinsdale. Hi, Karen. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi there. Thank you.
Sure.
I was just calling, and I didn't mean to, like, nitpick, and I totally believe this is a very, very important issue. But when Jennifer was on a few minutes ago and she had mentioned at least one of the challenges, besides fiscal, of course, in expanding to full-day daycare in Concord, was that Concord is the only autonomous school district in the state. I did just want to point out to her that there's this little tiny town called Hinsdale, population about 4,000. We are an autonomous school district, and we do have our own full-time, full-day daycare, and as well as two half-day preschool programs.
So, and Hinsdale, not a wealthy town, right, from what
not
I understand?
All.
Yeah, but
right.
You guys managed somehow to pull it together and offer that for kids in your district.
Yes, that is worked into the budget every year, and that is, of course, something that is here to stay.
Well, and Jason, when you looked at towns around the state, it wasn't always the wealthy towns that had offered full-day kindergarten.
No, not always. And one of the drivers of or one of the big factors that towns would consider actually came down to space. And a lot of towns want to do this, want to have full-day kindergarten programs, but literally can't fit all the kids in the building at the same time. And which gets back to a point raised earlier, which is that, you know, the kindergarten funding discussion does not happen in a vacuum, and there's a lot of education funding issues out there. You know, there's been lots of lawsuits, in, you know, for decades about how we fund schools, and school building aid is a really big one. And so for some districts, it's more complicated than just can we afford to hire two new teachers. It's can we afford to build two new classrooms and hire more bus drivers, more buses, that sort of thing. So it's complicated, and it's town by town, and often enrollment levels play a big factor in that.
Yeah, so it's not just the high-income towns, though, that are
taking
this step on their own and doing full day. Yeah, go ahead, Senator Feltus.
In fact, there's a lot of lower-income towns that have taken this step because they recognize the economic impact that this has to their community as well. You know, you have towns like, for example, Manchester, not what most would perceive to be an upper-income town. And, you know, they need help. They need help. Property taxpayers in Manchester need some help, need this support. Again, it's a fairness issue. Like I said earlier, I completely agree with the incoming governor. This is a fairness issue. And I'm hopeful that the governor in a couple hours, maybe he mentions it in a couple hours about this being a priority. It's something we all can certainly, I think, get behind and work together on about attracting and keeping young working families in the state, an economic development issue, and a fairness issue for local property taxpayers.
Well, here's an email from Robin in Hanover who says, I was a member of the Hanover School Board for 8 years. Toward the end of those years, the board began to seriously consider going from half day to full day kindergarten. As part of that consideration, Robin says, I searched and read and summarized every academic study I could find on the subject. This came to 36 published articles, he says. Across almost all of those studies, the findings were that there is no lasting academic benefit to full-day programs. Full-day kids generally do better than half-day kids for 2 or 3 years. Robin says, beyond that, there is essentially no detectable difference. So maybe you first, Senator Feltus, and then Senator Reagan, I have another question for you. But this keeps coming up. Senator Reagan talked about it earlier. The literature, you know, Robin says, seems inconclusive.
Well, first of all, I don't think any educational expert, and certainly a lot of folks have reviewed this, I looked at different things as well. No educational expert is going to say that anything is lasting for your entire life. I mean, these are all interventions. These are point-in-time interventions. And just like lowering classroom size for one grade for 1 year will have some positive effects, but it won't be lasting for your entire life or throughout. You have to look at this as a package. And certainly the longitudinal research, including the most recent research, is conclusive that there are effects, positive academic and social, going into fourth, in some cases fifth grade. And that's important. Why? Because every child should have an opportunity to get off to a good start. That helps that child. That helps other kids in the classroom in first and second and third grade as well. And it helps the teachers. So, again, this is about, it's not a mandate. This bill is not a mandate that local school districts do this. They can have their debates. But if they want their costs cut in half, the state ought to step up to the plate. It's a fairness issue. I think we ought to move forward on this. It's a really effective issue in terms of economic development as well.
Another question from Robin's email that I will share with you after a break. We'll take a lot more of your calls to the number 1-800-892-6477. Keep it right here. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, half-day or full-day kindergarten in the Granite State, and who should pay for it, communities or should the state kick in more? Join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at nhpr. Exchange. And gentlemen, just before the break, we were reading an email from Robin in Hanover who was questioning the long-lasting benefits of kindergarten. And Senator Feltus, you talked about that. Here's another part of his email that I want to throw at you, Senator Reagan, please. Robin says, a related question is whether quality daycare might capture the benefits at far less cost. Finally, he says, if the benefit is in parental time, community attraction, and real estate values, should the state foot that bill? And Senator Reagan, I'd love to hear from you on that.
It's something I hadn't thought of. In my hometown, after school, we send three busloads of our K through 8 school to the local rec center. And for a fee, these children have an after school activity that lasts, I don't know how late they go, probably 6 p.m. So that's how that's handled at the parents' expense. The most important thing, the town subsidizes it by making the building available. and having a recreation director full time. So everybody's pretty happy with it because it keeps, you know, 100-plus children off the streets where we have streets. And that's a good thing.
Is that the way to do it, Senator Feltes? You know, provide after kindergarten programs. A lot of parents send their kids to these programs. Buses pick them up at 10:30 and they go to, you know, Woodside School or the YMCA. Is that a way to achieve the goals that you're interested in and subsidize those parents who can't afford those private costs?
Well, it depends. I mean, there's certainly some good programs, YMCA here in town, others. Some of this stuff is pretty expensive. As we talked about earlier, Laura, childcare in the state is now the most expensive cost for working families, followed by housing costs. We need to deal with both of those. But in terms of making sure that every child gets off to the right start, not just upper income families that can afford private full day kindergarten or, you know, private school, but low to middle income families, to make sure that they have the opportunity to get off to a good start and to make sure that we step up to the plate in terms of being really serious about attracting and keeping young working families here in the state, which is demographically and economically needed. This is a major issue for young working families. As we talked about earlier, you have folks who are leaving Concord, moving into Bow, moving into Hopkinton because of this issue.
Okay, but my point is if Concord is still struggling to figure out how to do this and the state, you know, doesn't pass your bill to increase the adequacy formula, would a way to resolve some of these issues that you're concerned about be to say to folks who can afford the private aftercare, okay, you can do that, which a lot of them do anyway, and to the lower income folks who you say you're concerned about, offer them a subsidy, and then you're not creating this whole new program.
Well, that's sort of what Hopkinton did to start as a pilot program, and then they ultimately went to full-day kindergarten. They thought it'd be most effective and most cost-effective to do it that way. Second point is, while this is, you know, I'm co-sponsoring these legislation from Senator Waters and Representative Luno, this is a bipartisan bill. I mean, this is a bipartisan effort, and we heard Governor-elect Chris Sununu talk about this in the campaign, about he supports it. It's a fairness issue. Hopefully he'll take the lead on it. You know, we need leaders at all levels, governor to the legislature to the local level, to make sure that this happens, to make sure that every child has an opportunity to succeed and get off to a good start, and that we take care of our working families and our local property taxpayers. Again, it's so important to emphasize this. This is a fairness issue. Those school districts that chose, again, this is not a mandate, but those school districts that chose to go to full-day kindergarten, to have the support, like any other grade, those local property taxpayers, we owe it to those local property taxpayers to step up to the plate.
Well, and speaking of the politics of this and bipartisan issues and so forth, we've got a clip from Jason Moon's reporting from New Hampshire House Speaker Sean Jasper expressing some skepticism about the benefits of full-day kindergarten. Let's hear.
To a large degree, kindergarten is socialization of the students. I think we need to put more resources into the upper grades where the real education really takes place.
Well, so Jason Moon, we've got some skepticism again from Speaker Jasper there. We've got Senator Reagan, chair of the Senate Education Committee, expressing some concern about this approach. Governor Sununu, we played a clip from him earlier saying, yes, we should do this. What's your sense of the politics of this?
Well, it's really, I mean, it comes down to a sort of return on investment in terms of where do you put the money in education to get the most bang for your buck, right? And ironically, in the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, there's been a lot of momentum before kindergarten, in the pre-K, early education realm. There's a lot of research, a lot of it pretty convincing that's a really important period of time. Meanwhile, kindergarten has kind of fallen into this middle zone in between the grades, 1 through 12, and this recent push for pre-K. And so in a way, it's kind of been neglected. But, you know, I think the arguments are – there's sound arguments on both sides about whether or not it's the most cost-effective way to get what you want. And you have to decide what you want out of your education system in the first place. But, yeah, I mean, there are you know, other places to put the money for sure. And there's, you know, always a limited amount of money.
In New Hampshire, for sure. And here's an email from Susan in Bedford who says, why are education and daycare always grouped together? Parents choose to have kids, Susan says, and so must support them. She says the government will educate them, but schools are not daycare centers. are there solid educational benefits to full day versus half day kindergarten? I think we've gone around and around on that, gentlemen. Senator Reagan, you sound not so sure, and Senator Feltes, absolutely. So, Senator Reagan?
Well, I still think that the empirical evidence is that we don't have anything that we can offer as a measurement of success from full day kindergarten. What we're talking about here this morning is we've gotten into all the overlapping property tax issues. Who's going to pay for this? Is this a good idea? And you're into all the childhood development problems and family, the stressors on families of what do you do with your children when you really need to go to work. That the woman whose husband worked for the state and she put her career on hold for a while, and God bless them that they can afford to do that. And you have to be concerned about the people who single mothers or single parents or both poorly employed parents who need some help and where to have these children in a safe place every day for whatever number of hours it is.
So that sounds like an argument for full day kindergarten.
Well, it is.
But from
from a child care point of view, but
from an educational point of view,
the most expensive way to watch a child is to put them in a school, other than put them in the Sununu Center. But
that's another subject for another day. Actually, right. For those who don't know, the Sununu Center is basically the juvenile detention facility. Yeah. Right. Senator Feltes, again, we've got our emailer, Susan, kind of questioning the solid educational benefits to full day versus half day. Just real quick, please.
Well, I think the educational experts say it's a solid point-in-time intervention, as we talked about earlier, both social and academic. And we know that there's economic value to it, too, in terms of attracting and keeping young working families in the state. Jason talked about, well, a lot of the focus now is on preschool. Well, that's because – and we're in a debate about kindergarten. That's because, in many ways, New Hampshire has been left behind. You know, a lot of states in the South have really taken some – more advancements in early childhood education than even New Hampshire. But in terms of whether or not we can get this done, I think we can. You know, you got people with open mind like Senator Reagan about the issue. You got Governor Sununu, who clearly has an interest in it, calls it a fairness issue for those local school districts who aren't getting the full support. I agree with him, and hopefully he'll take a leadership role. There's other folks on the Republican side who are more wishy-washy about it. That's okay. These are the type of debates. You saw all these calls and these emails coming in. This is the kind of debate we should have. We should be focusing on this kind of debate in this next session rather than something like curtailing voting rights or curbing collective bargaining rights or something like that. Let's focus on this issue. We can make some progress on this.
Well, speaking of the costs and how communities bear them and how much this would help and so forth, Jason in his reporting talked to Londonderry School Superintendent Nate Greenberg, who's been involved in state education policy issues for a long time. He said that increasing state funding for full-day kindergarten, as your bill aims to do, Senator Feltes, wouldn't be nearly enough. Let's hear.
Just having full adequacy funding wouldn't come close to what the cost would be. When the state says, well, we'll pay for kindergarten, what does we'll pay for mean? All right, does we'll pay for mean we'll cover the cost of the staff? Does we'll pay for mean that we'll cover the cost of construction if necessary? Will pay for include furniture, technology, staffing, what does it mean?
So Senator Feltes again, you know, saying, look, this doesn't really even begin to cover what it really takes.
Well, in places like, for example, Concord, it cut the cost in half. Other communities about the same. Some communities more. But once you provide that full support rather than half support, that really does make a difference for a lot of school districts. The reality is, and reflected in his comments, is that the state doesn't provide the level of support for any grade that is really needed to provide full day any grade.
A full day, a feeling that the adequacy level is, as we said earlier,
not adequate.
Local education officials feel it's inadequate. Here's another question for all of you, and maybe first, Senator Feltes. So there's been a lot of talk about, again, demographic shifts in New Hampshire, the declining school-age population. I think the numbers in the Concord Monitor yesterday said overall there are 900 fewer kids than there were 5 years ago or 10 years ago in New Hampshire. At some point, there's going to be some savings from fewer students. So could that money be used to fund full-day kindergarten instead of, again, turning to the state?
Yes. that's a short answer. I mean, I think you can do this, and I think hopeful the Governor Sununu and his budget proposal does this. You can do it without raising any taxes or fees or without closing any loopholes. You know, I'm in favor of closing some loopholes and exploring different fees and that kind of thing. Some of my friends on the other side of the aisle are not, but I think you can do it without doing that in the current budget with declining enrollment statewide. Last budget, what happened is more money went to charter schools, based on what happened. And obviously we have the school lawsuits that need to be taken care of as well in this budget. I think you can do it in this budget. It's a question of leadership and priorities. And I think, you know, you got great people, well-intentioned, like Senator Reagan, other folks in the Senate. I think we can work together on this and get this done. And I'm looking forward to Governor Sununu's address in a couple hours. Hopefully he mentions it.
Well, and again, my point is, if local districts are going to start seeing some savings from lower enrollment numbers, could they choose to fund full-day kindergarten without turning to the state for more assistance?
This is all going to be a debate in terms of local school districts. That's why the bill, by the way, is not a mandate.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
So it doesn't mandate the local school district do this. They can take other courses of action. But if they do it, let's treat kindergartners the same as any other grade and provide full support. It's only fair. That's what we need to do in order to move forward.
So here's an email from Doug in Nashua, and this is for you, Senator Reagan. Doug says, the senator who said he hasn't had to deal with daycare issues for 40 years comes from a time when typically the father worked, the mother stayed at home and could provide reading activities, etc. Doug says that is no longer the case and hasn't been for a long time. It's more the rule than the exception that both parents must work to support the financial health of the family. Doug says, I'm a lifelong resident of New Hampshire, father to a dedicated and hardworking kindergarten teacher here in the state, and grandfather of three young children. I urge the legislature, says Doug, to provide full support of all-day kindergarten. What do you think, Senator Reagan? Times have changed, and Doug seems to be saying the state really needs to change along with those times.
I think it's a mistake to put into the same problem child care and early childhood education. So the dilemma that the parents have, many of whom push for full-day kindergarten, is they can't find adequate child care. Could they find adequate child care, this wouldn't be a problem. So that's a question, is how do we encourage and how do we promote the creation of daycare facilities for children? And the debate about what works best at what age will go on forever.
So that should be the focus.
The focus should be how do we take care of children in a safe place? And this is – I have a fire department background, and one of the biggest nightmares in fire inspection are child care facilities.
Really?
Because you have a lot of little people there who don't know how to protect themselves. It's almost as severe as the nursing home, that you know that in an emergency you have to carry half the people out of the building if they have to get out. The little children, other than doing ridiculous things like hiding in the event of a fire, they're kind of mobile, but you're into that same type of helpless person that needs a lot of attention.
Let's take one more call, and Brian is in Penacook. Hi, Brian. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange. Welcome.
Hi, Laura. As a native of New Hampshire and mid-40s, married with no children, and homeowner paying taxes already, I just wanted to gripe that New Hampshire just comes across as exceedingly Yankee thrift when, you know, we're having debates in 2017 about kindergarten and early childhood education. I don't know what the answers are, but it just comes across as cheap, you know, when compared to other states. And if we want to attract young people, young families to the state to have a thriving economy, I mean, we need to come together and determine how to do this. That was my only comment. Thanks again for all your hard work.
Oh, well, thank you, Brian, for calling in. And Jason Moon?
Yeah, it's an interesting question about how to fund kindergarten, because it may come as a surprise, but kindergarten is one area in terms of education policy where it differs pretty drastically state by state and even within New England. So, for instance, in Maine, they also mandate at least half-day programs. But unlike New Hampshire, Maine school districts are not allowed to tuition parents to provide a full-day program. So in some districts in New Hampshire, I think Bedford is an example of this, they have a half-day program which receives the state support. If the parents want, they can pay and their kid can stay for the full day. That you can't do that in Maine. It's forbidden because the fear is that you'll create a situation where you have the haves and the have-nots, where in some towns people can afford to have their kids go full day and you can't. So it's level in Maine. It's not quite as level in New Hampshire, and that's kind of the basic issue, whether it should be supported by the state or by local communities. And
it's interesting that other states approach it in a variety of ways. Did you want to jump in there, Senator Reagan?
I just wanted to say that we're coming up to warrant article season in a couple of months. It's time for the proponents and the opponents to gather their information, do their calculations, and be honest with their voters, tell them what this will cost, and debate the advantages and disadvantages, but present the cost to their voters. And the judgment of the voters most often is correct.
Senator Feltes, last word from you.
Thanks for covering this topic. It's so important. Obviously, you've got all these emails and phone calls coming in, and we'll see what happens in this legislative session. It's a thing that we can work together on, bipartisan, and help our economy.
All right. Well, and lots more emails, Facebook comments, tweets that we didn't even get to. So thanks to everybody for participating. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. Hey, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Please give us a review on iTunes to help other listeners find us. And thanks.